I want to ask you to give attention to the scripture that was read in your hearing that was done by Brother Kim. And the book says in Joshua 24 and verse number 14, or 15 rather, it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the Amorites, in whose hand or land you dwell now. But for me and my house, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choosing to lead like Joshua. Please, it's good to see you, man. I got to stop all of that because I got to get into my lesson. You know what I'm talking about. But there's another one that I did not say anything about right now because I've been so excited, stirred within my soul. Brother Albert Randall is sitting to our right over here. Did you all see that? You, two miracles that we are able to witness. Two miracles. Please just stand up, Brother Cletus. Stand up. Brother Albert, you don't have to stand. You can sit. Yeah, I want you all to see. Both these men were so sick and incapacitated. And where doctors didn't see a remedy, God stepped in. And there's something about God when he steps in. And now they stand by the grace of God. And we thank God for your presence today. Hallelujah. You may be seated now. Now back to the subject, choosing to lead like Joshua. If there was any one man out of the pages of the Old Testament that would most impress us, it would be Joshua. He was a man of courage, leading the children of Israel into the promised land, willing to face the challenges that crossed his path. He was a man of integrity, the type of man you could trust with your life. And the entire nation of men were willing to follow his most seemingly ridiculous command. He was a man of conviction. What he believed was no secret, nor was there the slightest hint of ever wavering in his faith. He cannot stand, or we cannot stand here today with a message so powerful that only Joshua could preach to us this morning. This message, if you know your Bible, was Joshua's final message. This was his last will and testament of the legend of a man of God. There was one great truth that he wanted to leave with those he loved the dearest. The last message was directed to the fathers of Israel. As a father of the nation and of his own household, he commanded the fathers to follow what every man ought to be able to do and tell his family. Follow my example. He said in verse 15 again, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knew that the nation was only as strong as his fathers. Joshua knew that the Father holds in his hands the power, the security of today, and the potential of tomorrow. This is a truth that our society has seemingly forgotten. For years, our society has undervalued the father. And as a result, may I say, we've been reaping what we've been sowing. We have fruit that's being produced daily that is catastrophic in its nature and corrupted. But even sadder, brothers and sisters, is the fact that many of fathers have bought into this lie as far as the role of a father is. Somewhere along the line, people have suggested that the father is irrelevant. Might I suggest a cruel key? And the key, shall I say, to the healing of this nation, healing of this corrupt society, the key to it is to have a man like Joshua leading us. Let me give you an illustration. There was a guest host on a TV series. An actor named Terry Crews. He had floated the idea that there are some things only a father can give you. But he became overwhelmed, both socially, from the social media, and even on the set where he was sitting. When he said, a father gives you your name, co-host, you know Whoopi. You know Whoopi? Whoopi was at her best giving jokes. And she responded, yes, like the Lion King. And when he said a father gives you your security, he gives you your confidence, another co-host, Jenny MacArthur, who was raising a son on her own, shot back at him, I'm a single mother and I guarantee you I can give my son all the things he needs to make it in life. Now listen to it. See, the debate went on for several minutes, and at high volume during that time, the female hosts were paying homage to widows, single moms, and gay couples. And MacArthur hammering at the idea that her son did not need a man in his life. Listen, let me counter with that. Mitch Albom, who is the author of a book referencing Tuesday, he said, when did fathers become expandable. Listen to what he says. Ponder how far we've come that on a network TV, a man suggesting there are some things only a father can give you is greeted not with agreeing nods, but a cannon of fire. He offered this analysis. He said, what does a father bring to the table? I can cite a few things I got from my own. From my father, I got strength. From my father, I got quiet confidence. From my father, I have discipline. From my father, I've got responsibility. And most of all, I got love. The kind of love that's not displayed by a mother, but from a father. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? I want you all to understand this morning that William Raspberry, an African-American columnist, responds and tells us, if I could offer a single prescription for the survival of America, and particular the black America, it would be to restore the family. And if you ask me how to do it, my answer would be, save the boys. Joshua in our text encouraged the men of his day to be what God had designed them to be, spiritual leaders. It's a choice that can't wait. There is an urgency. This morning, Joshua says to us, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which our fathers served while you were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But for me, oh, but for me, can I get a but for me? Can I get a but for me? Can I get a but for me? But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choices makes all the difference in our lives. Joshua gives us a powerful reminder of how important our choices are today. Because what it does, and listen to me, and when you can get a fan on and cool me down, please do that. It affects our choices for our future as parents, our children, and right now, for the now generation. It can't wait for the rest of your life to get in order. Being a good father won't wait until you get all your ducks in a row. Being a good father won't wait until you're able to fulfill all of your dreams. Being a good father won't wait until you get your money straight. A good father, it won't wait for tomorrow. It must be dealt with right now. Amen. Walls and electric lights. Listen, you remember the story of King David. You remember that he was an exceptional warrior, a legendary king. You remember that he was a great worshiper, but some kind of way he became a disappointing father. David had all of his bases covered in his life, but in his old age, come on now, in his old age, he would pay the dearest price for his failure. In other words, it can't wait for your children to get straight or to get older. Some fathers live with the illusion that I'll wait until my child is older because they can't understand it right now. Don't you fool yourself. You train up a child in the way that he should go when he becomes of age. That means you start down here so you can help him get up here. Some believe that their relationship with their children will automatically get better. But with all these TVs and some of these philosophers in our schools, do you believe that's true? No. Listen. How do I know that? Just follow me with Eli. Eli was a wonderful man of God, such a man that God entrusted him in the training of his prophet Samuel. But when it came to his own sons, who were living in open sin or open rebellion as priests, Eli chose to look the other way. But God held Eli responsible for his sins. You know why? Because he was doing it in his father's house. Don't let your children come in and take over your house. Be in charge. I'm the man ahead of this house. And they can't listen to you, tell them you know what to do. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more. Hit it until you get it. Let me go on now. If we as fathers choose to ignore the God-given responsibility we have been given by him, we are sowing seeds of wickedness that we are destined to confront when we get older. A mother can supply a great wealth of training in the lives of the children, but they cannot supply what God has called you to supply. A.B. Simpson called this the wickedness of weakness. He says, when we men refuse to fulfill our place in the spiritual hand or as the spiritual head of the household, he says, we fail. We fail miserably. And sometimes we'll never get another chance. You remember that wickedness and weakness was the cause of Adam's original sin. Can I get a witness? And I'm going to drop this nugget on you while I'm passing by. Brother, I don't care, husbands and potential husbands, how good and attractive the apple or whatever the fruit is on the tree. Your best bit is to look, but you better not touch. Well, anyway, brother, say amen when you can, because you know I'm telling the truth. Do you all remember that Herod took John the Baptist's head because he stood up and told him that it was wrong for him to have his father's wife? Joshua tells us it's time to choose to be spiritual leaders of our own household. It's a choice that all of us have to make as men. He goes on to tell us that God, you cannot lay that responsibility on someone else. Now, let me just drop this dime on you again. Stop at the meter. Listen. If you have a child out of wedlock and you don't marry her, that's still your child. So that means you still do what? Take care of the practical things I'm giving you this morning. That's all we need is a practical lesson on Father's Day. In other words, fathers, it's now the day and the time for you to choose to lead. And you're going to have to lead against the waves of unpopular opinion today. Joshua made it clear before anyone else made the choice that he's going to lead his family. And you don't care if nobody else does. If you don't, for me and my house. Do you know he was talking to some of his long-time friends? He was talking to his family members. He was talking to his nation. He was now committed to be a godly father. So, a note of importance. Men, there's no livelihood worth losing your marriage or your children over. We must make a priority of developing an inner character and personal righteousness. Let me quote from David in the Psalms of 112 in verse number 4. He says, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is what? Gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. In other words, to develop your inner character, brothers, and you know, he's talking about a man after being called, a man after God's own heart. Look at his profile. He was righteous. Take a note of the inner man, gracious and compassionate. Take a note of the inner man. He was generous and giving. Take a note of the inner man. He was just and fair. He was great faith. He trusted in God. He was reliable. He was fearless. He was never shaken or disturbed. That's the kind of man that can lead his home and can lead his nation. All right. So can I suggest to you men, let's start prioritizing and developing our inner character. Is that all right? Listen, it's unfortunate. Most men are more focused on getting their needs met than developing their character. Brother Smith, are you serious? Look around you. Look on the news. In counseling, when there's a bout of divorce, usually you hear something like this if you've ever been in a counseling session. My wife is just not meeting my needs. Can I get a witness? And I sit there silently, and sometimes I want to say, stop acting like a child. Why don't you grow up and stop being concerned about your needs and start getting more concerned about your character? Woo! Talk to me. So let me challenge our brethren today to start giving as much attention to your inner character and your personal righteousness as you give to pleasing your pleasures and making your money. Your wife and children do not want a rich husband. They don't want a popular husband. They just want a righteous husband and father. And what do they want them to do? To take the spiritual lead. Joshua was not calling for a physical lead. He was already cultivating that. He wanted to see more spiritual leadership in the home. Because he said, for me and my house. Can I get a witness? God's word speaks to the head of the house. It's not referring to some masculine bully. But the kind of man we described and gave a profile of David. A man that don't have to get back, but is always bent on giving. Can I get a witness? Now, right now, let me pause and say thank God for godly mothers. But let me assure you, they don't let us off the hook. The Bible is clear that God holds the man responsible for the spiritual condition of his house. In Ephesians 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And he gave his body for us. Sacrificial love. Let me go to verse 24. Now, as the church submit to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. In everything. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Boy, that's unconditional love. Then, as I move toward my conclusion, you know, I don't have to hold you long. You get my age, I want to celebrate Father's Day too. All right? Let's arrange our priorities in our life. Number one should be God. Number two should be your family. Number three should be your personal character and righteousness. In other words, as a leader, we must know where we're leading our family. We have to understand that we have to partner with God. Let's, what do you most want to see as a result of your years as a father? Think about it. Because it's a thought-provoking question. It's not something you just run by. Joshua's life had been a life that was committed. He wasn't committed to his own dreams, but to the divine purpose that he was created for. He leads his family to embrace God's purpose for their lives. He leads them to embrace the time they were in to see God's possibility in every obstacle of life. That space of time, God demonstrated what he could do, would do, and can do for even me and you. But most of all, he led his family to embrace God, to make their life an ever-expanding relationship with Jehovah Jireh. It's a choice now. He committed himself as well as his family to serve the Lord. See, for Joshua, serving the Lord and his family was his lifestyle. He was not just encouraging, but serving. Joshua was not the type of man that told his family what they should do. He showed them what they should do. It's useless to encourage our kids to do what we ourselves are unwilling to do. Am I right about it? Joshua demonstrated to his children what most of us have a difficult time of doing, because sometimes in our own life, it's hard to give what you didn't get yourself. Talk to me, brother. What he demonstrated in his life was a habit of worship, a habit of sacrifice. He demonstrated a life that was filled with prayer. I want to give you an example and call Job to the forefront. Job testified. Help us to understand the significance of being able to lead our families like Joshua. Job 1 and verse number 5. And it says, and it came about when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, that Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of all of his children. For Job said this, perhaps my sons have sinned and curse God in their heart. How often did you do it, Job? He said, listen, I had to do it every day, continually. So listen, Joshua was no secret saint. His commitment to God was not a secret. Why are you saying that, Brother Smith? Because it's important. Your children know if you're serving God or impersonating. Are you following me? If you're real or you memorize. Your children know whether your service to God is done in delight or embarrassment. There's a moving story that I want to give to you, brothers and sisters. Thank you for your patience and your listening ability. It was a pastor who had a young son that had become very ill. The boy had undergone some exhaustive series of tests. And finally, the father was told the shocking news that his son had terminal illness. The youngster had been obedient to Christ and had accepted Jesus as his Savior from the standpoint of obedience. So the minister was confident that the child's death would only escort him to glory. But what got his heart and puzzled him and made him wonder, how will I inform my child that he only has a few days to live? How? And after earnestly seeking direction from the Holy Spirit, he went with a heavy heart to the hospital and to his child's bedside. The first thing he did, Kenny, was read the scriptures to his child, and then he prayed. Then he gently told him that the doctors could promise him only a few more days to live. The father just asked, he said, son, are you afraid to meet Jesus? Blinking away the tears that was running down the boy's cheek, little child said bravely, no, not if he's like you, Daddy. Choice is so important. And when you see how important it is, Joshua set up a memorial stone at Shechem to serve as a testimony and a reminder of what they had promised that day. You and I must, with the same seriousness, set ourselves on keeping the choice to live for God. a vow to make, because the stone was a covenant they had made with God, a covenant of service to themselves and their family. The vow they made was not only for that time, but to shape generations' lives that would be in front of them. You and I have a memorial to build. You and I have to build our lives. And then we might set our path in the right direction. Like Joshua, like he was now old. It's not a vow we forget as our children grow up and leave our home. But that's a vow that we hold very tightly. Can I say this to you, brothers, to men? Listen, the Lord knows there's going to be some struggles, some issues that you'll have to deal with to become like Joshua. But I believe just like he helped Joshua, he'll help us too. With that thought in mind, I'd like all the fathers and the husbands to stand at this time. All the fathers and even potential fathers to stand at this time. We want to make a renewed committed commitment to God and to our family this morning. We want to be a Joshua that our children can talk about. It is time. So I want you to do, repeat after me. As for me, and my house, we will serve the Lord. So press on, Christian fathers, with Jesus Christ as our guide, and heaven as our goal. You may be seated. Max Lucado wrote something that I want to share when he said, because of Calvary, I'm free to choose. I choose to love. No occasion justified hatred. I choose joy. I will invite God to be the God of my circumstances. I choose peace because I will live to forgive, and I will forgive so that I might live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconvenience of the world. I choose kindness. I will be kind even to those unkind to me. I choose goodness. I will go without a dollar before I'll take a dishonest one. I will be overlooked before I will boast. I will confess before I accuse. I will choose faithfulness today, and I will keep my promises. My debtors will never regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be genuine. I choose self-control. It's a choice. It's a choice. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. I'm so grateful that we have some godly men here at Centerville. I want you all to know that we do. Don't assume. Oh, no, no, no. We've got some God-fearing men here. But we want every man to be God-fearing. So if you're here today and you're subject to the Savior's invitation, if you haven't made him the Lord of your life, the champion that will win every battle, even though you get knocked down, you won't be knocked out. Choose him today. The choice is yours. Whosoever will, let him follow the Lord. He don't beg you. He does ask you. If you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sin, as Brother Wilbur was, if you have not been raised to walk in the newness of life, as multitudes here are gathered here today have, this is your time. Today that you hear the sound of my word, don't harden your heart. Won't you?